going to bring that thing. So if we can have the kids come up, we'll dismiss you to Children's Church. Come on up and we'll pray for you guys and girls. I hear that you have a week off school this week, huh? Is that exciting? Now, has your parents got a long list of stuff for you to do? You got to clean your room, I bet. That's got to be on the list, right? I always had to clean my room. We're giving moms ideas here. That's what I'm doing. All right? Your rooms are all clean, though, aren't they? Is that true? Is your room clean? No. Okay. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Watch over these boys and girls, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And God, give them a great week off from school. Keep them safe, but Lord, let them have lots of fun. We pray that you would teach them your word this morning. Thank you, God, that you brought them here to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We have Bibles in the seats there in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible at home, we want you to take that Bible and take it home with you. Because as we constantly say here, you're supposed to read the Bible every day and learn what it says so that we can apply it to our lives. So take those Bibles with you if you don't have one. If you need to just borrow one today, you can leave it there and we'll use it again next week. Also, we're going to turn in our Bibles today to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. That's the first book in the Bible, Genesis. That means the beginning. And we're going to go to verse 20, chapter 8, verse 20. The series that we've been doing this month is the God of New Beginnings as we're working our way through Genesis chapter 8. Remember that God created everything in bliss. I mean, Adam had it made, didn't he, in the Garden of Eden? But sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. And because of sin, God became grieved that he even made mankind. They got so wicked. Every thought, inclination of his heart was only evil all the time. And so God destroyed the entire world with a worldwide flood. And when he did that, everything on earth perished. But Noah was a righteous man. He believed God. He believed God's promises specifically that there would be a deliverer that would come and deliver the entire world from their sin. At least all those who would believe on his name. And Noah believed that Messiah would come one day, the promise of God, the deliverance of God. And so Noah was found righteous in God's sight, not because of what he did, but because he believed God, because he trusted God. Noah was a sinner just like you and me, and pretty soon we'll be seeing that in our text in a few weeks as God leads us through that. But the flood was over. We've been through all of the first seven chapters of the flood, and here we come to the end of the flood, and Noah's just about to get off of the boat. He's been on this huge ark for more than a year. For more than a year, he's been on the boat with him and his sons, his three sons, his wife and his sons' wives, the Bible says. And then he finds out the water has receded. He sends out some birds and does some other things. He has a window he can look out. He sees that the water is receding, but he stays on the ark until God says it's okay to get off the boat. Finally, the word comes. Noah, it's okay to get off of the ark. So Noah opens up the door that God himself had shut them in with. And that was a whole lesson, right? God had shut them in. They were safe. But now Noah gets to open that door because God says it's okay. Noah opens the door. And here's the question for us to ponder this morning. You're on this boat for a year. Picture that in your mind. You're on this boat for a year. There's stinky animals. There's elephants. It doesn't smell good. The odor has gotten worse over the year, not better. Things, there's been family relationships being that close for a year. Go to your deck, you might say. So you're finally able to get off of this ship. What's the first thing you would do? Praise God, right? What's the first? Some of you might go, I might stir up some pasta, or I might, there's all kinds of things. All kinds of things would be going through your mind, but What would be the first thing you would do? Here's what Noah did. Let's look at verse 20. First thing. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. We usually do more than one verse on a Sunday, but today, this is such an important verse, we're going to spend an entire day, entire Sunday, talking about verse 20. The very first thing Noah did, and this is in your bulletin outline here, the very first thing, first act that Noah did when he got off the ark was to lead his family in worship. The very first thing Noah did. After he stepped out of the ark and stood on a completely renewed earth, Noah was so filled with gratitude that his first act was to lead his family in worship. He built an altar. He offered some of the clean animals, the sacrifices, clean birds to the Lord in praise and worship. Now, this was quite a spiritual moment, I suppose. Think about what Noah was doing. There was only a handful of animals left on the world, and he takes some of these, all of the animals at this point, including the humans, would be considered endangered species. They would, everything on earth would be considered on the endangered species list. And Noah takes some of those birds, he takes some of those animals, and said, God's been so good to us, he slays them, puts them on an altar, and gives them to God in an act of worship. That's giving your all to the Lord, isn't it? That's trusting God with everything we have. There's such a spiritual lesson in this morning. Today, as we start to ponder, I'm going to give you the bottom line of today's lesson. The bottom line is worshiping God is giving your all. It's not coming here on Sunday and singing some songs. It's not showing up and lifting our hands in prayer. All of that can be worship, but worship doesn't stop on Sunday at 12 o'clock when we all leave, or I guess if I preach till 12, I'll probably get in real trouble, won't I, today? So you know, 11:15 or 10:15 or whatever time we end today. That's not when worship ends. Worship in a Christian's life is supposed to continue and be all-encompassing in what I work at, where, how I work at, how I treat the people I work with, who I share with, who I live with, who my family, every single aspect, every single relationship, everything I do should be filled with worship, should be filled with the Spirit and presence of God. That's what my life should exude. That's what should be shown. If I'm a single male, when I date a young lady, I should be demonstrating such respect for her, such kindness for her, that her parents would look forward to me taking her out because I would be edifying her and lifting her up. They wouldn't have to be worried about me being alone with their daughter. It's the kind of relationship I should have with the Lord that it exudes every part, every facet of my life. Same thing is true with if I'm a boss and how I treat my employees and so on. Every single aspect of my worship, of my life, should exude worship unto the Lord. How I treat my wife at home should exude worship unto the Lord. How I treat my husband, if I'm a lady, should be as unto the Lord as I serve Him. Worshiping God is giving Him our all. It's the best that we have, not our leftovers. Sometimes we bring God what's left at the end of the day, right? We're too tired, we're too busy to spend some time in God's Word in the morning, so it gets to the end of the day, we're half awake, we prop our eyelids open, and we quickly read a few verses in the Bible and go off to sleep. That's not really giving God our best in our devotional life, is it? But sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? And I'm not getting on to you this morning. I'm not scolding you. I don't want you to think about that. What I want you to think about is what can I change in my life to start giving God my very best? God, when we want to give our devotional life, if we really want to grow in our spiritual life, let's have our devotions, let's have our prayer time every morning at the peak of our day. Let's cancel that meeting, let's rearrange our schedule, let's change things as best as we can to give God the best 20 minutes, the best 10 minutes, whatever you can do, give Him the best part of your day, the most alert part, the most mentally best part of your day. That's what God wants. He wants our best, not our leftovers. Talking about tithes and offerings, God says, would you bring in Malachi? He says something, I'm remembering this, so it won't be word perfect, but he says something like, would you bring a half-bitten up animal? Would you bring some scoundy offering to your governor? And yet you bring a lame sacrifice to me. Because a sacrifice in the Old Testament could have no broken bones, no blemishes. It had to be a one-year-old male goat or sheep or whatever they were offering. One-year-old calf. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. And they were bringing God, you could get premium dollar for that at the market. So they were selling their best and bringing God their leftovers. And God brought that as an accusation to them. What you're bringing to me, would you offer that to your governor? Would you give that to your leader? If you had your mayor over, if we had Ed Romaine over for lunch, would we serve him that? And of course we wouldn't. We would bring out the best. We would bless him. I don't know what your political beliefs are, but if the president, maybe I shouldn't ask, but if the president came to my house just because he's the president, whether I agreed with him or not, I would bring out the best because of the office, out of respect for who he is. And so, you know, we need to pray for our leaders and give them our best, and we wouldn't do any less for God. So I challenge you this morning with worship to think about it in that regard, to consider what we're giving to God. Noah gave the best that he had. There was only a few animals left, and he worshiped God first. Two things here, the best and first. Keep God front and center. Maybe that's challenging in your life today. I want to encourage you that if that's the case, maybe God's speaking to your heart and life today, take that communication card and flip it over. You wrote your name on one side of it. On the other side are some next steps. We believe that the Christian life is filled with next steps. One of the next steps in your spiritual life, as I'm speaking to you today, might be to commit to leading your family in worship. We see Noah getting off the ark, and the first thing he does is lead his family in worship. And men, I got to challenge you today. You're the priest in your home. Men have the position of being priest in their home. You're supposed to be the spiritual head of your home and lead your home in worship, to lead your home in prayer, to lead your home in biblical instruction. As your pastor, I'm to help you, equip you in that. If you need some help in that, come see me and I can give you some direction or some encouragement or some help in some areas in your life in that context. But when you stand before God, God is going to ask you, how did you lead your family to me? What did you do to instruct them and teach them in the way they should go? So I want to challenge you. Maybe that's where you need to be. Take a lesson from Noah this morning and say, God, how would you want me to lead my family? Do you pray with your family? When your family goes through a particular challenge, one of your kids go through a challenge, are you able to open God's word up and say, son, what about meditating on this verse? My boys have had a whole range of issues growing up, and oftentimes I'd say, hey, I want you to memorize this passage or this passage. Just this week, I gave one of my sons a list of verses, and I said, listen, I'm going to memorize these verses with you so that when you go through these challenges, you're going to be able to rely on that, and God can direct and mold your character, not with just anything, but with His precious Word. Get that Word stored down in your heart and let that shape your future decisions in this area, because I can see some shaping that needs to be done in your life. One of those verses was Proverbs, where it says, listen to the instruction that I give you. Don't turn a hard heart to me. That was God's words. So as a man of the home, and some of you are single moms, that responsibility then falls on you. So I encourage you to be in the Word and lead in your family in worship and prayer. That doesn't mean you have to have a sing-along and all of that unto the Lord. I can't carry a tune, but I can worship the Lord in my instruction and in my counsel and in the Bible reading and in praying with my family and so on. And that's what God wants us to do. That's real worship. Also, I want you to notice as we the fifth thing here that we studied about Noah today, and these are listed in your bulletin, in the notes there. Noah was a balanced believer. Noah was a balanced believer. And if you'll remember, I know we're going back several weeks. We've been in chapter 8 for a few weeks now. But Noah walked with the Lord in loving communion, and Noah enjoyed God's presence. That was kind of what we covered the first week. Something struck me about that this week, that Noah enjoyed God's presence. Some of us come to church out of obligation. Some of us do our Bible reading because the pastor says we need to, and I might feel a little guilty. And I suppose there's all kinds of reasons to go through the motions of religion. But Noah enjoyed God's presence. If we go back to that message a few weeks ago and just pull that back out and see that Noah was a balanced believer, Noah walked with the Lord in loving communion and enjoyed God's presence. Help that be a challenge to us today, that we should be in such worship, such a relationship with God, that we get out of the religiousness of worship and we go to God because He's our friend and we enjoy His presence. We long to be with the Lord. He longs to be with us. Noah was a balanced believer. He not only walked with the Lord, but he also worked for the Lord in building the ark. Part of worship is not only walking with God and desiring His presence, but working with the Lord. God gives us all specific callings and specific gifts. And you may have a J-O-B, a job, but God wants to make a calling in your life. He wants to transcend the job market and specifically use you in certain areas, certain ministries, certain ways, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday night, but every day of the week. He wants to use you in giving a Bible to someone that's suffering or praying with someone, or, you know, during the week, God will prompt you to do something that He's already doing something in someone's life, and you happen to show up. And then the Holy Spirit will quietly prompt you to go and minister to them or give some lunch money to some homeless guy or whatever the case might be, just to remind someone that God loves them. Someone's hurting, to minister to them, to read some scripture. If we'll just be sensitive to how the Lord might lead us, all kinds of stories will come out of this congregation about what God is doing during the week. Noah was that kind of man. He worked for God. He built an ark. He believed God, and he worked for the Lord. Noah not only walked for the Lord, he worked with the Lord, but his worship included the fact that he witnessed from the Lord. 2 Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a balanced believer, and he witnessed, he shared, he didn't keep it to himself. There's an old story that I've used many times about a man who had a terrible disease. And the preacher kept praying for him and ministering to him and did everything he could to help him along. And then one day the man died. As the preacher was going over one last time, he pulled this little vial out of his pocket. He said, "Maybe I should have given him the cure." See, you thought he was a good guy, didn't you? But after I told you the preacher had the medicine in his pocket for the disease that the guy just died of, he becomes a villain, doesn't he? We have the cure to eternal death. And sometimes we don't share it because we're embarrassed. Because we don't know how that person might react. But we are that preacher. We are that person that has the cure to eternal death in our pocket, and we must not keep it to ourselves, whether they accept it or reject it, whether they persecute us or love us. It doesn't matter. We must share the gospel. We must tell them about Jesus. We must tell them how they can be saved from sure death. We must invite them to church to hear the good news. We must do all we can. We don't have to have a theological degree to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to have the whole Bible memorized. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to take a class on evangelism. You have enough to share about Jesus Christ right now where you're at because you have a testimony. God has done something in your life, and all He calls you to do is be a witness of what He's done in your life. Tell people, God saved me. I don't have all the answers. I don't even have great big faith. All I have is little faith. But what God did with that is, I used to be scared to death to go to sleep at night. I used as a kid cry myself to sleep just about every night. I was scared to death to die. That's my life. And God completely flipped that. I'm not going to tell you the whole story to this morning because I've told it several times, but God literally saved me from fear. I don't longer fear death, and there's been many times when I've come close. Noah was a balanced believer, and he showed his worship with how he walked with God, how he worked with God, how he witnessed for God. But he also showed his worship and how he waited on the Lord. Remember last week we talked about how much Noah must have yearned to get off that boat. I mean, the boat came to rest on Mount Ararat, and he stayed on the boat another month. He could have gotten off. I don't know how soft the ground was that supported the ark. But God did not tell Noah to get off the boat, and Noah waited for God. One day came, and Noah received the instructions from the Lord that it was okay to exit. And he and his family got off the boat. Sometimes our worship is waiting. Sometimes we have to just get in God's presence and say, God, when do you want me to do such and such? There's a time in my life, everything I did for 6 or 7 months was wait on me. I will vindicate you. I will show the way. I will deliver you. Every message I heard on the radio, God just, when he has to get me my attention, it's everything I hear when I get a message like that from the Lord. And it was wait, wait, wait. I'm an action-oriented person. I am not a patient man by nature. God, I have to work on being patient. And God said, wait. And I wanted to just wrap my arms around it and fix it. But that wasn't God's plan. Noah waited on the Lord. He demonstrated his worship by waiting. And finally, the physical act of worship. Noah worshiped the Lord. He brought sacrifices. He laid down his life. He gave God his best. And he actually worshiped and praised God in a physical sense this morning. That's what we're talking about today. So maybe that's a challenge in your life. Maybe the next step for you, and going back to the communication card, is committing to giving God your best. Maybe as we've been talking through this morning, you go, I've been giving God my leftovers. My best I've been spending here, or I've been spending there, or at the office, or wherever. And I'm not beating you up this morning. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you about that, maybe that's something you want to work on. Maybe that's the next step you want to take. Maybe you want to spend some time this week asking God, God, what areas of my life would you like me to give my best in to you? And He'll speak to you and help you. Finally, the last point today is God, Noah gave all to the Lord. If we read through that passage, we can pick that out. We've already kind of touched on it. But in Old Testament days, when you sacrificed a burnt offering, according to Leviticus 1:9, you gave the whole animal to God. You gave the entire offering to the Lord. Noah did that when he got off of the boat. In fact, he was giving his possible livelihood to the Lord. He was giving it all to the Lord. What was his family going to eat for the next time? I'm sure all the trees hadn't sprouted and everything wasn't back to normal. There was probably a new normal that Noah had to learn on the ark, but he was willing to give up what was comfortable so that he could worship the Lord. The New Testament has a little bit different story on this. Let's turn to Romans. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That's about two-thirds of the way through your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what God wants of us now. We don't bring animals to the Lord and sacrifice them looking forward to one day when Messiah would give His life for us. Today we receive communion in the same sense, looking back to what Jesus did for us. But here's the sacrifice God wants us to bring now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." That means giving God our everything, making God first in everything. Matthew 22 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." And the second is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and prophets are fulfilled or hang on these two commandments. That means loving God with all of our heart is what we're supposed to do, and loving others as ourselves is how we're supposed to do it. When you give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus to someone, when you come up against someone that's been hurt and you open your Bible up and share something the Holy Spirit lays on your heart for them, when you buy a homeless person a meal, when you wrap your arms around your wife and you cry with her over some issue and you pray with her, whatever you do, you're doing it unto the Lord. You are loving Jesus. What you do for the least of these, my brothers, you do for me. That's being a living sacrifice. The Old Testament, they were all dead sacrifices. They laid their life on the altar. They slit the throat. The blood ran down the altar. So it'd be a little gory today, but that's exactly what happened. Nothing ever, except for when God delivered Isaac, nothing came off the altar. It was slain. It was dead. It had no choices. It had no will. It laid it all down. It died. That's why he uses the same terminology in Romans 12. We are to lay our life down. Be dead. Give it up. Our life is no longer ours, but in 1 Corinthians 6:20, we were redeemed. We were paid for the price. We are no longer our own. We belong to God, and now we give Him our all. That's being a living sacrifice versus a dead sacrifice. Now we're living and active, letting God work through us. That's what God wants us to do. Maybe this week you need to memorize that passage of Scripture so that you can recall it and work on it. Romans 12:1 is a powerful passage of Scripture to memorize. I encourage you to do that. In your bulletins, if you'll all open your bulletin to the sermon page. You know, I haven't even looked at a bulletin to see if it's on there, Arlene. It's not even on there. Let me see if it's... Oh, it is on the next page, where we usually have notes. I gave you a little sample prayer. Sometimes new believers, sometimes old believers, people that have been believers a while, still struggle with their prayer life. And don't be ashamed of that. It's okay to struggle with that. It's okay. At least just keep pressing ahead. But I want to give you maybe a prayer that you could pray. Sometimes I do this, and I don't mean it to be something you memorize and this is the prayer. I'm not arrogant like that. This might just be a pattern for you, some words that you could express and think about as you pray. It simply says, "Lord, your word tells me to offer my body to you as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. Reminds me that this is my spiritual act of worship. Help me, Lord, to live my life today in this light. Help me to keep track. I wrote this and I can't read it. Help me to keep you constantly on my mind. Let me enjoy your presence as I walk with you. Allow my work to honor you in all that I do. As people come my way, bless my life that it may reflect your glory and make my life a living witness before others. When trouble comes my way, tell me not to react, but instead wait on you for help, instruction, and deliverance. Most of all, make my life a sacrifice of worship, a pleasing aroma before you. All that I am, all that I do, and all that I have is yours. Use me today that I might be, that you might be glorified. That's what God wants us to live like. That's the essence of what I'm trying to share with you today. That all that we are, all that we have, all that we do is worship unto the Lord. As a believer that's wholeheartedly following Jesus, that's what worship becomes. Not a Sunday morning thing. Certainly a Sunday morning thing, but that's not where it ends. It's also a Monday morning thing and a Monday afternoon thing and a Monday evening thing and a Monday night thing. It's also Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every day of the week and every hour of the day. It's being awoken in the middle of the night with someone on your mind and saying, God, you want me to pray for this person. The devil, let me give you a hint, the devil will never wake you up to pray for someone. The devil will lull you to sleep, but the devil will never wake you up to pray. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about Johnny or Susie or Henry or somebody, and you know that they're in trouble, and you just feel in your spirit that God wants you to lift them up, you can be assured that that is the Lord. And He is your rest, not your bed, not your pillow. So you're going, oh God, I'm so tired, I need some sleep. You might think that, but the Lord will remind you that He is your rest. That even if you get up and pray for a few hours, you will feel refreshed the next morning because He will give you rest. So trust that. Live a life of worship. Live a life of consecration. Live a life totally sold out to Jesus every moment of every day. Follow Noah's example in Genesis chapter 8. Jesus, I want to share the gospel. I believe I need to share the gospel every time I preach. I try to bring it all back to Jesus. Jesus, we don't get saved because of what we do. We don't get saved because we live a life of worship. We don't get saved because we stand out in faith with someone and wrap our arms around somebody and do good works. We get saved because we believe Jesus Christ is our deliverer from sin. That's the only way. Noah was not a righteous man because of the good things that he did. He wasn't a righteous man because he built an ark. He wasn't a righteous man because he preached righteousness. Noah was a righteous man because he believed that God was going to send the Messiah, Jesus. You see, we broke God's law. We sinned. We violated every commandment God's written. In fact, if we only broke one of them, the Bible says we've broken them all. Lied, stealed, cheated, committed adultery in our heart, all kinds of things. Not kept God first, not loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We haven't treated everyone as we love God, love your neighbor. We haven't been patient. We haven't been kind. We've envied. We've coveted. I mean, I could go on all day long, but that would get really old, wouldn't it? Because you get the message. We've messed up. There's no way to fix it. We can't save ourselves. But God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross because the wages of sin is death. We broke God's law, and Jesus paid our fine for us. And if we'll believe that He did that, if we'll believe and put our faith and our trust that He paid the price for our sin, we will be saved. Worship is all a P.S. The letter is finished. Jesus said on the cross, Telestai, it is paid in full. It is finished. It's all done. He did it all. Our worship, our response to that, everything we're talking about today is not what saves us. Everything we're talking about today is the P.S. on the bottom of the letter. My King gave me the greatest gift ever, eternal life with Him for forever and ever and ever. I can't work for it. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. He looked upon me with incredible favor and just blessed me. There's nothing I can do to make up for that. Now I just live my life for Him because He paid for my sin. That's it. That's as simple as the gospel gets. Anyone can receive it. But many people stumble on its simplicity. Don't be that person today. Just pray simply, God, help me not stumble over the simplicity of your gospel, but help me receive it with open arms, open hands. Help me just receive the gift. Help me believe in your Son, Jesus, in Jesus' name. God will take that little tiny bit of faith. You don't have to have much faith to get saved. You just have to believe that simple message. And then God layers on and builds on, and your life becomes, you become a student of God. And you too can become a balanced believer, just as Noah did. You too can live a life, just as Noah did, with being walking with God, with working with God, with witnessing with God, with waiting on God, with worshiping God. And he can fix any problem. You don't even have to have your life all fixed and put in shape when you come. You just come just as you are, and God takes care of the rest. Let's pray. Lord, this is your message. Genesis chapter 8, Lord, is a chapter of new beginnings. The world was destroyed, ruined, completely wiped out. And you brought Noah to a new beginning. And sometimes, Lord, our lives become ruined and wiped out and destroyed, not because of you, Lord, but because of us. We've ruined it. We've messed it up. We've violated your laws, and the way of the transgressor is hard. And we come to the end of our rope, Lord. And the only way we can turn is up to you. And Lord, you renew our world. And we praise you, Lord, for that. Sometimes, Lord, we obey you as Jesus obeyed you. And we get tribulation and persecution, and our world again gets turned all upside down. And we need refreshment from you. We need deliverance. We need help, Lord. And Lord, you renew our world just as you did with Noah. Noah obeyed you and still went through a flood. So God, we put our lives into your hands. We trust you, Lord, with everything we have. We ask you to help us this morning to grow and worship God, not just on Sunday, Lord, but on every area of our life. Lord, if there's men here that haven't been leading their families in worship, we pray, God, that you would do a Holy Ghost rescue with them and help them begin to develop the pattern of praying with their kids, of loving their kids, of teaching their children your word, of being the spiritual priest of their home. And God, if there's a mom here that has double duty for whatever reason under the sun, we pray that you would come alongside of her and help her be that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would serve you every single moment of every day, at work, at play, at the gym, Lord, exercising, wherever, God, that you would help us honor you in the name of Jesus. And now, God, I pray for those that may not know you in this place this morning. Father, we pray that if there's someone here, and chances are there is, that, Lord, you would today make the message of the gospel clear. Show them your truth. Give them understanding, but also, God, give them faith. Faith also is a gift from God. So grant them faith, grant them understanding, and help them believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for their sin. They don't have to have it all figured out, God. That'll come later as they grow. But God, we just pray that you would give them that mustard seed-sized faith and water it and plant it, and help them believe you, Lord. That's the greatest expression of worship we can ever give, is that we believe God because you credit that as righteousness. So we bless you this morning. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Ellen's going to come this morning and give us a brief talk on our missionaries. Let's see if I can get that on our screen here. There you go.
Here they are. Good morning, everyone. Before I say anything, I want to assure you.